This programme was made with the support of the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland.
Oh, my name is George Campbell, my age is 18, and I joined the United Men to fight.
There was always singing in the house. Our house was an open plan, and there was a room off that where Dad had a studio, and you would go in, and there was music just always on. He was immersed in his music.
When the people oppressed,
I just like songs, and anybody who wants my songs can have them. And that sums up Frank Hart's attitude.
He was a gas man, he really was. I'm so happy I knew, for lots of reasons, you know, apart from the singing. He was great company.
He was such an influence in me, I started to actually go seek songs that he wouldn't have heard.
He always had this thing about books gathering dust in libraries, and that's not a song, you know, it needs to be sung to be a song.
Welcome to Frank Hart, A Life in Song. The passing of Frank Hart on the 27th of June 2005 left a deep void in the world of Irish traditional singing. Frank saw himself not just as a singer, but the voice of the ordinary people of Ireland. Born on the 14th of May 1933 in Chapelizod, County Dublin, Frank Hart was a traditional Irish singer, song collector, architect and lecturer. With a collection of over 15,000 songs, he left behind an essential archive for future generations. In this three-part series, Near FM will look at Frank Hart through his association with Ongoleen Traditional Singing Club and the annual festival they now hold in his honour every September. We will hear from his family, friends and colleagues as they regale Frank in song and stories and explore the legacy of Frank Hart.
Saying I'll have my revenge for my brother Munro.
The unmistakable sound of Frank Hart during a talk in Coolock Library in 1998 as part of the 1798 Rebellion commemorations. During the same talk, Frank went on to describe how he feels about traditional song and singing.
I'd like to talk a little about the traditional songs first of all, and more specifically how I see them. Some people associate ballads really with the loud roaring and shouting and raucous hands clapping and so forth in pubs. Some of the songs I sing to some of you may be new, but there's more to traditional singing than simply bringing a crowd into a pub to delight a publican. To me, they're an expression of the people, our people, and I mean all the people from Bushmills down to Ballyfermot. The Orange Song is just as valid a part of our tradition as is the Fenian song. Now, whether you agree with what's in the song or not makes absolutely no difference. It's not going to affect it one way or the other. The songs contain, I think, the innermost thoughts, the desires, the love, the laughter, and the tragedies, and in many cases, as in these songs, the political aspirations of the people. These are expressions that couldn't be given public a hearing to, mainly on account of the oppressive nature of the society at the time. But he seemed to flow much more easily when the ballad maker sat down and wrote the song anonymously and sang it for a group not much more than this or even less than this in a kitchen or whatever, and it took off from there. A saying which I coined at one time and I think I like very much is that those in power write the history and those who suffer write the songs. And we have an awful lot of songs.
Dublin traditional singer Barry Gleason remembers Frank Hart as a man with a prodigious memory for song and a generous nature when it came to sharing his collection.
In terms of Dublin, he certainly was ahead of his time. He would have started, he was in Boyle Inn when he was 14 years of age, and he heard a traveller singing The Valley of Knockanure. That got him hitched to the whole thing. So from the age of 14, he was singing away, and he had a good ally up north in Antrim with Len Graham. And Len would have introduced him then to an awful lot of northern singers like Eddie Butcher and Geordie Hanna and Joe Holmes and all these. And he picked up a lot of songs there. He just had a unique passion. And when you'd listen to a Frank Hart CD, you'd be almost definitely able to get a few new unusual songs that maybe hadn't been recorded by anyone that we'd know anyway before that. So it was a good way to pick up songs. And he was totally devoted to it. You know, he'd be able to sing all night with cups of tea. He wasn't a drinker. And he'd have these songs that he could just pick out of the air from nowhere, you know. So he had a prodigious memory and a huge, thousands upon thousands. I mean, I've seen 20,000 written down. And he was very generous. He was never possessive about it. Because, and I think other people were generous with him, you know, the less, and then he would be spreading them around. He always had this thing about books gathering dust in libraries, and that's not a song, you know, it needs to be sung to be a song.
Brendan Kennelly has a lovely line that says, "All songs are living ghosts and long for a living voice." It's a thought that appeals to me very much. I delight in the idea of the expression which emerged from somebody's mouth over 200 years ago. It's hanging out there in time and space, just waiting for the likes of me, a singer, to bring it right back over that void of time and space to be heard again here tonight. In the year of 1798, a sorrowful tale, the truth unto you I'll relate. Of 36 heroes, the world were left to be seen. By a false information, they were shot on Dunlavin Green.
Frank Hart's daughter Orla has early childhood memories where singing is central to their lives.
We used to go up and down to Ballinrobe in County Mayo for our summer holidays, and we sang our way down and we sang our way back. That's where we all learned to sing. He never took the song as being the song, because I know when I was smaller, I went everywhere with Dad. We'd go up and down to the Flas, and, you know, sometimes I was less than kind and say, "Gosh, that person can't really sing." And he'd say, "It's the song. It's not the voice, it's the song." I was the person who went with Dad, and then, you know, as Dad got older and he wasn't as well, he wasn't as comfortable about heading off. So I would drive him everywhere. So the Goldene Singers, everybody knows, you know, where Dad was, I was. So wherever we'd be going, Dad would be going in to do a gig or something like that, or he'd be singing at something. So, you know, I mean, he'd sing a song, or he'd say, "Good Lord," there was one day we were going into some gig, some guy wasn't well, and they were doing a benefit gig, and he said, "What'll I sing now? I'll sing something. Maybe I'll sing I'm Stretched on Your Grave." And I thought, oh, sweet boy, it's a funny sense of humor. Distracted will
run. Now westland winds and slaughtering guns bring autumn's pleasant weather. The moorcock springs on.
Phil Callery is a member of renowned Irish vocal trio The Voice Squad and an old friend of Frank Hart. He remembers Frank as someone very special.
Yes, I first heard Frank singing in the Neptune Royal Club on Islesbridge, which was the first really good folk club, probably in Ireland. In fact, Sweeney's men play there practically every week. My brother was rowing for Neptune, God rest him, and he came home one day and he said, "You have to come down and hear the music, you know, in the Neptune." He said, "It's absolutely brilliant." So I went along, and Frank was singing. Actually, he wasn't great at all, but he's like a bottle of wine. He matured with age and he got better as he went along, you know. I found a great difficulty connecting with him, you know, and then I really got into him because he turned up regularly, and he always wore a big jumper. He sang away, and got to know him from the Neptune.
For the loss of their fathers who were shot on Dunlavin Green.
At the time, I was working in Merion, out by Merion Gates there for Renault, what was called Smith's Motors. I was transferred to Chapel Lizard after like 6 years or something. And beside me was Frank Hart, just up the road in St. Martin's Row, you know. And so myself and Frank used to hang out at lunchtime, and I'd go up to see him and in the garden. He kept bees, and he had many interests and activities. He had a little potting shed, and he used to make some pottery and ashtrays and mugs and stuff, you know. He was a fantastic guy. And apart from the singing at all, he was great company. A very intelligent man, and always had a lot to talk about. He had a sort of a grumpy attitude, Frank, you know, and was a barrier to keep it away from him, you know. Behind all that hard exterior was this beautiful, soft, very sensitive man. But at the same time, he was very political, very much supported the local traditions and the working man. And his interpretation of the songs was very special, the way he connected with the songs. In fact, you couldn't sing a song unless you knew everything about the song, the background, where it came from, storyline. As much information as you could get made the song stronger. And Frank had a great way of finding his way into a song and making it his own. And as I said, his singing improved all the time, got stronger and stronger and stronger. Before he died, that's my favourite singer, without a doubt, you know.
Oh, joy came to my bosom as I reached Covington.
We were sitting in the house and he said to me, the Kane sisters from Carlistrand, Rita and Sarah, they sang in unison, which is very unusual as well in the tradition. For two sisters who sang together perfectly in sync, you know, totally in unison, and a beautiful sound. He said to me, Rita and Sarah, I said, are singing in the Listeners Club with Ewan McCall. And he said, we'll have to go, there'll be nobody there. He says, no, the Brits, they won't listen to the Kane sisters, we'll have to go. So I said, fair enough. He says, we'll get the boat on Friday. So we went down to the customs house and we got on the boat, and I think it was a fiver, and we sailed over to Holyhead and we got the train to London, and we walked up the street to the Listeners Club and the place was jammed. We couldn't get in. We were there, as he said, to make up the numbers, you know. He sent word in that we were there and the guy said, well, we're full up, we've no room, you know. And the Kane sisters stopped singing and they said, get the boys in and they can sit on the stage with us. So it didn't affect the health and safety issues that they had, you know. So we got in and we sat beside the Kane sisters and while they sang, and it was a really great, great experience. He said to me, oh, he said, that's a great idea, that club. He said, we should do this in Dublin. He said, Phil, you'd be the right man to do that. You know, he was always full of great ideas. But so he passed on the idea to me and he kept pushing me until it happened, really. So then I went to the Stag's Head way upstairs, the top floor, and I started the first traditional singers club in Ireland was in the Stag's Head. And as it transpired, the first man in the door was Luke Cheevers.
Down in Kilkenny, where the great row was making, and poor little Jimmy Murphy was the lad to.
So the first traditional singing club that Phil Callery established would eventually become the Gowleen Traditional Singing Club. The Gowleen was founded by Tim Dennehy and his brother-in-law Donald DeBarra to give a platform for people who like to sing and listen to traditional songs and singing. Luke Cheevers tells us how the Gowleen works and how no singer gets any special treatment.
Everybody, if you had Frank Hart or Liam Weldon there, they'd only get the same order that anyone else gets. Everyone is guaranteed the same order. All conversation has to stop. And that goes with 99% of the singing sessions down the country. Now, you could have great fun. People sing serious songs, and it's not all serious. Of course, they sing comical songs, local songs that you'd never heard before, you know. And there's great banter. And there's great joining in as well. It's not always just a individual. There's some great chorus songs, and people are familiar with them up and down the country. What it is that you have a dedicated fraternity up and down the country of all ages that are interested in singing, and you get to know people from up and down the country, from Cullybacky up in Antrim, the likes of John Kennedy, down to Confada down in Cork. We've been meeting each other for 30 years, and if you get involved with those people, they're very, very friendly and supportive to young singers. If you start taking an interest, you'll make contacts right away. We could do it more young people coming in. You see, and the thing about young people is that they don't have the confidence in themselves. They might come along to a club and they'll hear elfers like me. They may think that, oh, Jenny, I couldn't sing like that, you know, or I wouldn't attempt to sing like that. Yeah. But in fact, we encourage young singers all the time, you know. Frank Hart, in particular, you know, he lived for to spread the songs around. As a matter of fact, in front of me here, I have an article from 1984, and he's quoted, I won't go through the whole thing, and he was talking about the academic approach and all this sort of business to it. But he preferred the open approach, the common man's approach, you know. And he says, I just like songs, and anybody who wants my songs can have them. And that sums up Frank Hart's attitude. Yeah.
Another renowned traditional Irish singer who has early memories of An Gowleen is Niamh Parsons. Niamh also has fond memories of Frank.
It was really funny because I had discovered the Gowleen before Mam and Dad did. My sister was living outside the country, and I think I started going in 83 or 84. It blew me away at the time. The only thing was, it was on a Friday night, and I was working full-time, and after a long week's working, I would go. Our crew used to go to Mulligan's pub, and it was hard to tear myself away on a Friday night at 9 o'clock without having eaten and having drunk a pint or five, and then go to the Goline. But sometimes I did stumble in, fall in. Do you remember when it was in the Four Seasons? I can remember. I can remember knowing that I'd been there, but not remember being there. As I got older, I made it a more regular. And then my parents started to come, which was quite funny, really, because it's not often that a young one in her 20s goes out with her parents. And then when my sister returned from her foreign travels, she started to come in with us. So the four of us would regularly go in. And then Dad had a stroke, so I became the designated driver. And I still am the designated driver. So I'm always sober in the Goline. Almost always, I should say. I first met Frank in the Brazen Head, actually, in the late 70s. I used to go down there. I wasn't even singing in those days, actually, in the late 70s, early 80s. I used to go down to the Brazen Head. I can remember hearing about a Sunday session. So it was Liam Weldon and Frank Hart. And I remember, I knew of these songs, and I actually had loads of songs, but I was very shy. But anyway, so I went down there and I heard about the Sunday session, started going to the Sunday session, and actually started learning songs then. Then when I actually started singing about 1983, I started going to the Goline, and I knew Frank, and Frank knew me. I just thought he was brilliant. Like, he just had, there was eating and drinking in his songs, always. They were great songs. And if he had a song that we all knew, he'd have a turn on it, a twist on it, a different air, more verses, whatever. So I remember learning Once I Loved with Fond Affection, which is a song I put on the Arcadia album. And I was in the back of Hughes's on a, I don't know what night it was. It was a rare singing session, or maybe it was just an ordinary music session that Frank happened to come into, and there were songs. But he says, "Do you not have the other two verses of that?" And I went, "No, give us." So he was always often giving us songs, tunes. And he was so generous with his verses and his songs, and he'd tell you where he got it. Now, he was also an incredible collector, because one of my claim to fames in the Goline was that I found songs that Frank had never heard, because he was such an influence in me. I started to actually go seek songs that he wouldn't have heard, which was very interesting, really. And so there was songs like The Briar and the Rose he'd never heard, Reconciliation he'd never heard, and The Orphan's Wedding. Those three in particular, songs that I had still nowadays, when I go looking for a song, I often think to myself, betcha Frank would never have heard of that. And I still do it to this day. One of the things Frank said to me was, "I love the way you get a brand new song and make it sound like it's an ancient song." Yeah. And I said, "Sure, I learned that from you." And he went, yeah, I suppose so. I fell asleep down by a stream, and there I heard the strangest dream, and down my Brennan's glen there grows a briar and a rose. There's a tree in the forest, and I don't know where. I built a nest out of your hair, and climbing up into the air, the briar and the rose. Well, I don't know how long it's been, but I was born in Brennan's Glen, and near the end of spring there grows a briar and a rose.
That was Niamh Parsons singing the Tom Waits song Briar and the Rose. Since Frank Hart's passing in June 2005, An Gaoline have organised an annual festival to honour his memory. The Frank Hart Festival runs in the Teachers Club on Parnell Square on the fourth weekend of September every year. Gerry O'Reilly is one of the organisers.
I just can't believe that the 7 years have gone. 2006 was the first one. So, and I'm just amazed that we little thought when we started it in 2006 that it would still be going 7 years later and still as strong as ever, and the impetus and the enthusiasm of people to come. And they come from all over the world. Like, we have people come from America, from Scotland, from England, and they come, and the website, it hits on the website. In the months coming up to the weeks, coming up to the Frank Hart Festival, the number of hits on the Gowling website doubles and trebles as people just zoom in, like, and you know, it's great. They love it, and we're celebrating Frank, and more importantly, remembering him and making sure he's not forgotten.
The Friday evening of the Frank Hart Festival is traditionally reserved for a singing session. Far on tee for the evening is Antona O'Farrakhan.
Now, Corgi, Tommy the Galatussi. Just came over me. I don't know what happened, really. Ladies and gentlemen, Corgi. Great to see a lot of familiar faces. It seems like the year just went by like that. Anybody who hasn't been with us before, you're particularly welcome as well. All you have to do at this weekend is come along, sing, listen to songs and enjoy yourself. That's all you have to do. Our special friend that I want to call on to officially open the weekend, I'm sure you'll all know him, it's Mikkel Ned Quinn. Would you give him a warm welcome, please?
Well, good evening, everybody, and it's great to be back in the Gowling again. And as the man said, you are all very welcome to the Frank Hart Festival 2012. And isn't it wonderful? It's hard to believe that we could do 7 years without him. And I was delighted for to be asked for to open this festival, and I was wondering what angle would I take. And coming up on the train, I just thought of the last whole day that I spent with Frank. It was the loveliest day, one of the nicest days ever I spent in my life anyhow. And I thought I could do no better than share it with you people here. Frank was after being on the phone for the most of a half a day with me. When he would come on, and we would fall out many a time and argue. We never like really fell out. We'd argue a bit on it. He said, Mick, he says, the next time, he says, you're coming up to Dublin, give me a ring, he says, and I'll come over and take you over to my place. And I can remember a way down when we had the singing going down in Fork Hill. It would start on Friday and it would wind up very late on Sunday night. It would be going on in O'Hanlon's out at the back on the Sunday, and it was going strong, and there were still people coming in the middle of the day, and I was out welcoming a few to come. And Frank arrived at that stage, and he would always greet you with a big bear hug. And when we hugged, he looked back and he says, Mick, give us a kiss. So on that, I will declare the Frank Hart Festival 2012 officially open. Thank you very much.
One of the youngest members of the audience to stand up and sing in the Friday night singing circle every year is Frank Hart's granddaughter, Siobhan Quinn Hart.
A special welcome, please, to Siobhan Hart.
Where the girls are so pretty, I first sent my eyes on sweet Molly Malone. As she wheels her wheelbarrow to the street broad and narrow, crying cockles and mussels alive, alive, oh.
I'm going to call on Jerry Cullen now. Would you welcome Jerry Cullen, please?
For his bones they lie scattered on the rude soil of Spain, and young Jamie Foyers in battle was slain.
The floor was then open for anyone present to sing a song, tell a story, or recite a poem.
I married my blushing bride. She's some other guy's springy sprog inside. They're all at it, the truth I'll tell. Sweaty Betty, Juicy Lucy, Jolly Molly, Randy Mandy, Hoorie Hannah from Nakavana, Dainty Wendy from Newtown and Kendi, Miranda with the veranda, Finola, Rula, Bula, Green Mimi, Flighty Aphrodite, not forgetting Natalie, Natalie, and her from hell, Nutcracker Nell.
Another of the festival organisers, Fergus Russell, met Frank Hart through On Gaoline. Frank encouraged Fergus's songwriting, and they both shared a love of collecting songs.
This song is a song that I penned. It's about the traveller life. And the Frank Hart Festival always reminds me of people who were in the Gaoline and who are now passed on. And one of them was Johnny Collins. He was a great friend of Frank's and he was a great friend of the Gaoline. And he was one of the stalwarts of the Gaoline for many years. In this song, there's a word called buffer. And buffer is the name that travellers give to, in Ireland anyway, to settled people. They're called buffers. So most of us here are buffers, right? Some of you will know the little refrain, so they join in. Oh, Patrainey's me name, I'm a travelling man. I'll mend your old pots, I'll make you a can. I'm prince among nomads, the king of me clan. Fa-la-la-la-la-la-day. I travels the road with me ass and me dog. There's game in the fields, there's turf in the bog. I sing like a lark as along we do jog. Fa la 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 day. I camp by the river.
The singing continued on into the night as singer after singer made their contribution.
And please God in his own good time, he will lift the traveller's load, and we bid farewell to poverty and the blue tar road. Well.
Would you welcome here Siobhan Miller from Scotland?
And away I walk, oh, in Scouting Head, oh. We'll fix a nest when that grouse be row. We'll fix a nest when that grouse be. There's money I in for him, Max me. And then I'll ken what he has gained. How it has white beans when they are bare, the wind shall blow for a barnyard, the wind shall blow for a barnyard.
Even after the opening Friday night of the Frank Hart Festival officially ends, the singing continues long into the night. Join us in Programme 2, where we will further explore the life and legacy of Frank Hart and look in depth to the Saturday of the festival, where we have singing workshops, lectures and gala concerts.
I did undergo with that hero commander, brave General Munro.
You have been listening to the first part in the series Frank Hart, A Life in Song. Thanks to An Gaoline and all of Frank Hart's friends and family for their participation in the series, including Orla Hart, Siobhan Quinhart, Gerry O'Reilly, Phil Callery, Barry Gleason, Fergus Russell, Niamh Parsons, Siobhan Miller, Luke Chivers, Gerry Cullen, Racker Donnelly, Michael Ned Quinn and Antona O'Farachon. The archive recordings of Frank Hart speaking and singing in Coolock Library in 1998 are courtesy of Peter Ridgway. This series is a Near FM production, produced, narrated and edited by Paul Loughran, with additional production by Rory O'Brien and Ken Toohey.
The very last words that their dear son did say.
This programme was made with the support of the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland.